Two kingdoms, two cities, two value systems, two pathways leading to two ultimate destinations. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ and how we can discern who is in God's kingdom and who is in the world's kingdom. Our message is on being motivated by the invisible world, and today we'll meet some people who were. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, some Bible examples of people who knew which city they ultimately belonged in.
You take, for example, Moses. The scripture says about Moses that he said no to the things of Egypt because he looked forward to the reward, because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so those of us who belong to the city of God, or say that we do, what we have to do is to demonstrate to the world that this is not the place where we always need to win. As a matter of fact, we can lose here because we know that in Jesus we have already won, and it's just a matter of time. And so what we have here is we have different values. And then we have a different destination. This is really beautiful. It says, well, the first part isn't beautiful. You'll notice it says their end is destruction in verse 19. The Greek word telos, teleology. I remember in philosophy we used to study teleology. Teleology had to do with the ultimate purpose of all things, the end to which all things are moving. It says regarding the citizens of the city of man, their end is destruction. Could I just look at your heart today and your eyes and tell you this, that if you do not know Christ as Savior, if you do not see the cross and the resurrection of Jesus as your only hope and you have put your trust in him, and if you continue on in the way in which you are going, your end will be destruction. And the Bible speaks about an eternal destruction. What a warning. I urge you today to trust Christ if you've never done so. Their end, he says, is destruction. But now notice the contrast. Could it be any more graphic, any more realistic, and any more surprising? Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Could you visualize that for just a moment? Think about the person who is sitting beside you, how they are going to look in eternal glory. And even better, what did you see when you looked in the mirror this morning? There is going to be a marvelous translation. We are going to have bodies like unto his glorious body. The body from which Jesus, of course, was raised, traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem in a moment of time. The body of glory, possibly even something like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. See, that's why C.S. Lewis says that the person that you know may either someday be one of the most glorious beings, which if you saw it now, you'd be tempted to worship, C.S. Lewis said, or in the future, that person might be such a horrid creature that it's the kind of creature you only encounter in horror movies. That's the difference. The Bible says that we are going to have bodies like unto his glorious body. And when that happens, we shall in that body see God. At last we shall see him. In these bodies we cannot. No man has seen God at any time. But the time is coming when we shall behold God. Augustine was a God lover. And he prayed and says, "Oh God, no man can see thee and live. Let me die that I might behold thy face." And it is in the new resurrected body that we shall behold Almighty God. Now, in order to nail this down, so that we leave here transformed and we get our thoughts all focused on the salient lessons, let me give you very quickly three bottom lines. I suppose there should only always be one bottom line, but I want you to get your money's worth, so I give you a couple of bottom lines. The first is this, that if you're a member of the city of God, for you there is no permanent tragedy. Tragedies, yes, but no permanent tragedy. A friend dies. You're going through a divorce. Your house is being foreclosed. It's a tragedy. And we here at the Moody Church want to do all that we can, the little that we can, to walk with people through such experiences. But the Bible says, if that's happening, would you remind yourself that it says in 2 Corinthians that when we die, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens? It is not a permanent tragedy. Job loss, relational pain, not permanent, because we know that eternity is coming. As the old line says, it's Good Friday, but Sunday is on the way. There is no permanent tragedy if you belong to the city of God. But the second lesson is that if you belong to the city of man, if you belong to the city of man, there is no permanent victory. There is no permanent victory. You can amass all the wealth that you want. You can become as famous as you want. You can climb the ladder of success to the extent that you want to. In the end, you will lose it all. It will all be gone, and as we've already emphasized, the end is destruction. You take nothing with you, and you enter into a realm of pain and unending sorrow. Wow. Think about that. Your victories, over which you rejoice, the pleasures that you so much enjoy, are all temporary. Bible says that our lives are like a vapor that is here for a moment, and then those vapors are gone. In the very same way, our lives are here today, and they're gone tomorrow. No permanent victory for the citizens of this earth. Finally, the way in which you make this transfer is, of course, as I've emphasized, through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, it is indeed because of the cross that we have the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus met all of God's requirements on our behalf. There's a sense in which I can say today, I owe God nothing because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Those of you who are feeling as if you can never possibly please God, you're right. But there is a way that it can be done, and that is to have somebody else please God for you. And that somebody else is Jesus Christ. I urge you today to believe. There are some of you whose hearts God has already prepared for this meeting. Some of you who are in this sanctuary today, some of you are listening by other means, and you know who you are, that this is the moment to which God has brought you to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. Years ago, I told you this story, but I'll tell it again. Apparently, a little boy, possibly age 6, was lost in a city. Policemen were trying to find out. They knew his name, but they didn't know where he lived. And he didn't know his address. And then he said, you know, I live not too far from a church in my neighborhood. And they said, which church? And he said, you know, it's that church with a big cross in front of it. Well, the police happened to know almost certainly what church that was with a big cross in front. And then the boy said, if you take me to the cross, I can find my way home. And today, only through the cross, there's no other way, no other provision. can you and I find our way home? When Jesus was here on earth, in order to emphasize to the disciples the importance of his death, he in the upper room said to the disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you," in anticipation of his death. "Drink this," he said, "because when you do, this represents my blood that I am going to shed." And then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And the Apostle Paul says, "We do it also as a remembrance to the Lord until he comes." Our nation is in great need, but at the end of the day, what it needs to hear is a word of hope given by a Savior with nail-pierced hands who came from heaven to earth to redeem us at great personal cost. Would you join me as we pray together? And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, you can even while you are listening say, "Today I believe on Jesus." God has prepared your heart for it. You've come with a burden of sin. You know now that it is through him that sin is forgiven. Acceptance and fellowship with God is made available because of his complete work. Call out to him even now and be saved. Father, do your work in the hearts of all, and we pray that you might enable all of us to be good witnesses to the city of man and its great needs, to hold up a message that is transforming, and to live lives that are consistent with what we say we believe. And we shall thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. You know, if there is any good news in America, it is not going to come from Washington. Any truly good news is going to come from the lives and the lips of Christians who know Jesus Christ as Savior and share him with their friends. It is in this way that the news of the gospel gets from person to person. If I may put it very clearly, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you and I have the privilege, but we also have the obligation of sharing him with others. And that's why I preach this message, emphasizing the fact that the cross, the gospel, is the centrality of what we have to say to this nation that has lost its way. Well, this is actually part of a larger series of messages titled The Invisible World. I want to be sure to invite you to tune in next time when we talk about angels, because obviously they exist in the invisible world. And you're going to be greatly encouraged to realize that these created beings are actually created, yes, to give praise to God, but also to take care of us. Hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win. God bless you, and you have a good day.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer wrapping up Motivated by the Invisible World, the fifth of eight messages in a series on the invisible world. Tomorrow, don't miss a message on angels, God's invisible agents. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.